on the hard courts of the NBA last night at the Garden.
Al Horford back in the game. Boston by 9. 3:52 to go. Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie time.
Against Tyus Jones. Considering his options. Now starts the drive. Spins. Tyus Jones stays with him. He takes the jumper anyway and hits it. And what's Tyus Jones thinking? You can't play him any better than that. It still didn't matter.
Hands were good. Hands in his face, but just a great score.
Kyrie flirting triple-double territory now. 16-7-8. 87-76. Boston by 11.
Kyrie Irving scored 16 points and had 9 boards and 8 assists. And Aaron Barnes and Jaylen Brown both added 11 points apiece, pacing the Boston Celtics to a 91-84 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves last night at the Garden. The win was the 5th straight for the season, 6 of their last 7 games. Last night in Lowell, Massachusetts, the UVM men's hockey team continued their struggles, getting blasted by UMass Lowell. 6-0 loss was the 6th in a row for the Cats, and now fall to 4-13-3 overall and 1-7-2 in Hockey East play. And the UVM men's basketball team returns to Patrick Gym tonight, hosting UMBC. The Cats return home after a very successful short road trip that had 2 victories, the first over Ivy League favorite Harvard and the second in the America East opener against UMass Lowell. The Cats look to move to 2-0 in America East early play. And, of course, you can hear all the action of that game tonight right here at 101.3 ESPN. Coverage starts at 6:30. Sports Saturday on the way. I'm David Hunter, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com.
Contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Been out of here for 2 weeks. The big fella, Bernie Siplicki, is out today. He is on assignment, so filling in is our good buddy from the Burlington Free Press, Austin Danforth. Good morning, Austin.
Morning, boys. How are you?
How's it going today?
Chilly.
Yeah, it's very chilly. It is very chilly. Dave Hunter, well done, buddy. Hey, listen, we have to make a big announcement here. This is a big day for Sports Saturday, as this is your last show with us as our full-time engineer. This is it. I mean, hopefully you'll come back to fill in periodically.
I mean, bail you out. Yeah,
yeah, okay. To bail us out when we need it. But listen, I do with all sincerity here. I do.
Been 42 years, you know.
I know.
Well, actually, more than that. First, time I was on the radio was a little promo I did back in 1964.
Man, I wasn't even thought of then.
It was a WDOT, the original WDOT and AM station, and I did a little promo. Said, "Please listen to WDOT because my dad makes me, and I don't want to suffer alone."
Well, Dave, with all sincerity, we appreciate all you've done for us. This was supposed to be when we started this show, I think we're coming on Earth. We're actually going to be 3 years old at the end of February, Austin, if you can believe it. Time just flies by here. And this was supposed to be just a few-week thing. You were supposed to get us started, and then that was going to be it, and you've been with us every step of the way. So
I taught you something.
You sure did. You taught me a lot of things on what not to say on the air.
The sports Bible that I have, the production Bible, you know, which is rule number one in the Ten Commandments of being on the radio is let the host take the floor. So, Jeff, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Again, Dave, thanks for all you do.
And then you step in 5 seconds later to start talking about midget porn.
This is what's made me a better, I think at least a little bit better at what I do, is that he just talks whenever he wants to talk. So you could be in the middle of a conversation, and Dave just jumps right in. It doesn't really matter.
Good producer, you know why that is?
Yeah, he sure does.
That's because I control the mics, ladies and gentlemen.
And there it is again. Mike was on, Mike was off. But anyway, so Dave, thanks for everything. I think Bernie's going to call in a little bit later to say goodbye to you as well. So thanks for all you've done. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation today. 802-655-6672. And also you can join, if you don't know this, you should know by now if you listen to the station, we have the Town Fair Tire text line. You can call, you can text to that number, the same exact number, 802-655-6672, if you want to give us your point of view, talk to us a little bit, give us a call, because we have a lot to talk about today.
And we also learned, I think it was a few months ago when I was in here, that you can text emojis and those will pop
up. Yes, you can. You can send emojis. It's just like texting anybody you want. You can send us emojis. You can send it whatever you want. Give us a buzz at 655-6672 or text us. It is so cold outside. When I got to, I went to Ramonto's this morning just to make sure everything was all set for the day. When I got there, my car said it was like -9, I think it was being generous.
Yeah.
I went in and I had to get something out of our freezer, and it was warmer in the freezer than it was outside when I went to get something out of the freezer. That's how cold it is outside. So if you have the ability to stay home and just kind of get under the blankets, listen to the show or whatever.
Maybe have a hot pizza delivered.
Oh, yeah, have one delivered. You can absolutely do that as well. And since we are sponsoring the show now, I can even say 879-1000, give us a buzz, we'll deliver it to you all day.
You could have said that before. I mean,
no, I know. I mean, I just feel awkward.
ESOX, yeah, 194 Main Street.
But see, the difference is that Ramonto's actually pays. Ramonto's pays. ESOX doesn't do any paying.
Well, that's what I say.
That's what you just.
That's why I usually say the Sports Center is not being brought to you by. So that way, I can get around that.
Yeah, exactly. Very loophole. Very good stuff there. Interesting. Last night, Mega Millions and Powerball. I didn't win.
I got to get my tickets.
I'm disappointed. So I thought for sure I'd be a winner, but somebody did win the Mega Millions last night. It was in Florida.
For somebody from Florida.
Really? Okay, something I read this morning that there was one number that won the 400. It was $450-something million dollars. And unfortunately, it wasn't me, but somebody in
check
Florida
your ticket anyway, because you know you could have won $50,000 or something.
I did have two of the numbers. Does that mean anything? If you have two of the numbers,
you'll get if it's on the
get
same,
a hand check. Yeah, same thing. Yeah,
then yeah, you'll get like you get a couple bucks back.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
You're like a professional gambler.
Yeah, well, so I play the big bucks like that. Yeah. Once it gets really big, like when we're talking like $300 million and up,
retirement.
So I'm not playing every.
Yeah, you play when it's big deal. Like, I'm with you.
Retirement for me and most people I know. I would, yeah. I have a legit plan. It's not written down, but it's all up here. But I never match any numbers on Mega Millions.
Right.
But so I usually just stick to Powerball. So I still got to get my tickets today.
Make sure you do it. It's $550 million.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that Powerball hit a billion once. Remember that when it hit a billion dollars?
Oh, yeah, I threw like $20 at that.
Oh, yeah, easy. Oh, yeah, I think I dropped like $60 that week or that whole period of time trying to win that $1 billion. Didn't win, but you know, what are you going
to
do?
People are going to start listening to me now.
Did I ever tell you to the story? This is a scratch-off story I have. Did I ever tell you this story?
No.
I probably have said it. I'm going to say it real quick. So about 6 years ago, Christmas. You always play a stupid. I'm not going to miss this. I can tell you that. I get this Christmas stocking from my sister-in-law. It was Christmas with my wife's family, and it's a stack of like scratch tickets in it. So you know, kids are opening their gifts. We're just kind of saying, I'm just ripping these scratch tickets off, and you know, no winner. I get to this one ticket, I read it, and it says match three like amounts and win that number. So I scratch off one. It says $30,000. Scratch another one up. It's not a $30,000. You know, scratch another one. $30,000.
Whoa!
So I'm in my mind thinking, oh, dude, you know, one more $30,000.
It's a good year.
I'm going to win $30,000. Next number is nothing. Next number, I get to the third number. Scratch, it's $30,000. So understand. I don't know if anyone's ever won the lottery out there, because I think the most I've ever won on anything is like $20. And I may be even pushing that. Maybe $10. I sat there for a minute, and in your mind, the first thing that was in my mind was, I'm going to be in Bangor, Maine for a little bit longer now. Thinking I'm going to be at my in-laws. I'm going to stay at my in-laws for a little bit longer. Then I thought, I just won $30,000. What am I going to do with $30,000? This is right after we had opened Ramonto. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to really help us. I can't believe $30,000. I looked at my wife and I said, I think I just won $30,000. The whole house goes crazy. 10 minutes, we're freaking out. I mean, it's like, oh my God, we just won $30,000. Everyone's running around the house. We're calling relatives. All of a sudden, my sister-in-law, who's sitting like over, she lets this happen for 10 minutes, by the way.
Oh my God.
Starts shaking her head and laughing, and I'm like, what is the problem? And she goes, you idiot. It's not real. So she basically took a fake ticket and put it in with all the real tickets, and it got me. Like hook, line, and sinker. I got it. And her husband, my brother-in-law Joe, took a picture of me, and I guess I must have put my head in my hands. Like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever had anything like that happen to you, but I legit thought that I won $30,000. Like, I literally thought for 10 minutes, that's a long time, that I had a $30,000 ticket in my pocket. I'm holding it.
Already spending the money.
Well, just like organizing it in my head. I'm like, okay, no, what are we going to have to do now? I got to make sure I got to call the lottery. We're going to have to get this money. When are we going home? We're probably going to have to be here for a few days because it's going to take a while for me to get this money. And then when we get it, what are we going to, I mean, I was calling my parents. I called my parents. We just won $30,000. I mean, I text my business partner. Like, I just won $30,000.
Cancel those season tickets.
Exactly. Cancel everything, because then she laughs at me and says, "You're a moron," which I am a moron. I shouldn't have been punked like that, but so I'm a little salty when it comes to scratch tickets.
The most I've seen anybody win, a buddy of mine who in high school, he, a couple years younger, he was a clerk at like a convenience store.
Yeah,
and he could see, like, when you're behind the counter, I guess you can see like how many tickets are coming off and when people return them for winners, and you like. He could sort of match the numbers of the tickets.
He's like that guy in that movie that plays blackjack. He can see that. He's got a talent.
Well, I think it was more like he could just, you could sort of track him because you have to write down the winners and let him know. And finally, I think he threw like $40 at like a $5 or $8 ticket.
Yeah.
He won $1,000.
Wow. That's nice.
And I think I can say this because the statute of limitations has passed, but he was not 18.
That is.
So he calls me and he's like, hey, Austin, can you do something for me? And had me get gifted me the ticket, and then
so scratch ticket off one. Then said, "Here,
he couldn't turn it in.
Did you get a percentage?
You could have stuck it to him, man.
He took care of it. He's my boy.
I'm glad. Well, there you go. This is a big time.
Everybody
over
has still price hits, right?
Now. Doug from Hinesburg just sent us a text.
Like that one guy who won the lottery. There, he put all the money in the trunk of his car and went to a strip club for about a month and a half.
I don't know. None of that happens. Like you stay.
It did happen.
None of that happens. What you? Here we go. So Doug in Hinesburg sent me a text. He said, Jeff, he had the same thing happen to him. He said, I got all sweaty and clammy and shoved the ticket in my back pocket, and my sister let me go for about 10 minutes before she said anything. So that's not okay. I'm with you, Doug. It's very difficult. Very difficult process. I'm still mad at her about it. In fact, this past Christmas, I was just with them. We spent Christmas with her family this year, and they handed me a stocking. But this year, she didn't put any lottery tickets in, which I appreciated. Yeah. So I don't want to be, I don't know if I would trust her anymore.
I can't talk right now. I'm taking a sip of coffee out of my Rams cup.
Big news. Big news yesterday from Patriots camp. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Dave takes a drink out of his Rams. Because we all know you're a big Rams fan, Dave. We get it. Rams got a big game today. Told us so.
New helmets.
Because all the best teams play the first week of the playoffs.
New helmets, baby.
Dave.
Where are the Giants, buddy? Where are the Giants?
He's a Patriot fan.
I'm a Patriots guy.
Well, we're going to meet you. Remember Spygate? We're going to get even. That's the whole reason we're there.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Spygate.
I know. It has nothing to do with the Rams.
Hey, seems like they know our plays.
It has nothing to do
with
the Rams.
This year, we're going to be practicing behind a curtain.
Okay. The Rams are going to win this week, but that'll be it. Anyway, let's move on here. Patriots, some drama down in Foxborough this past couple days. And I think everybody understands what's happening here. I mean, it's like a love triangle here between the big three, Kraft, Brady, and Belichick.
Not a lot of love, though.
Yeah, and it comes out that, so basically this all comes out of the Jimmy Garoppolo situation, if I'm correct, Austin, that Jimmy Garoppolo and Brady did not have a very good relationship. Brady, Belichick wanted to obviously keep him, but it sounded like Kraft went to Belichick and said, you're trading him. And they kind of traded him for nothing. I mean, when you think about what Jimmy Garoppolo could bring back, when you look at what the NFL is, it's a quarterback-run league.
Yeah.
You feel like if you have a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo who's, I don't want to say he's proven yet, but boy, he looks like he's a sure thing.
Yeah. Yes.
To get a second-round pick for that player, that's it. I think red flags went up immediately. Patriot fans had to be thinking, what are we doing here? Because it wasn't just him either. Brissett went as well. So basically in a matter of what, 2 months, 3 months, 2 months, if that, the Patriots, who have a 40-year-old quarterback, the greatest quarterback to ever live, in my opinion, but the 40-year-old quarterback, trades two kids that both have great potential and trades one to Indianapolis and sends the real guy you think would be the heir apparent to Brady to San Francisco.
Yeah, the Brissett trade, I think, happened because they actually needed a slot receiver after Edelman went down. Still, it like sort of unlike them to really just go, you know, fire for somebody they needed. I think the second rounder part of it was they had no leverage at that point. It was so late. Like, it was right before the trade deadline. He was going to be a free agent. They could have lost him anyway. They probably weren't going to franchise him. and have two quarterbacks pulling in $20 million.
I need to get some information, though, because I'm listening to stuff this morning, and it sounded as if that they could have gotten more towards the... I guess I'm just confused, because I looked it up, and I guess is he a free agent going into this season? Because all the talk this morning was that the question was, and if you have the information, tell me, 655-6672, is Garoppolo a free agent? I haven't heard anything like that.
He was up he's up for free agency.
This year.
In 2018.
So right now, Jimmy Garoppolo right now is a free agent.
Whenever free agency starts, yeah.
Okay, so that changes things for me then, because obviously then the Patriots are kind of in a no, you know, you're either going to sign the guy,
right,
or you're going to trade the guy.
And apparently they'd offered him, you know, 3 or 4 years around like 18 or 17 million bucks.
Well, then this blows this thing right out of proportion to me then. Then where's this big, what's the big deal? Then it sounds like it's kind of like the Patriots kind of hamstrung there. It sounds like Kraft was all in with the mentality that Brady wants to play another 4 or 5 years. He's going to be our quarterback. Belichick being Belichick may have thought, there may have been some strife there.
Right.
But maybe it's not as big a deal as we're making it out to be, because it sounds like the Patriots are kind of in a position where if they didn't trade him, they could have lost him for nothing.
Exactly. That's part of it. I think the concerning thing, and what probably has a lot of Patriots Nation freaking out,
including you,
a little bit. Yeah,
you're freaking out.
well, you think about it. One of the lines in that Seth Wickersham story on ESPN was that basically Belichick thought his whole thing had been, once the owner starts making football moves, that's where he starts seeing the end of the road.
Right.
And you start piecing these things back together, and it's like, man, this is the end. he could go wherever. The popular sexy talk right now is the Giants.
Well, I was going to bring that up to you, and the other thing that I think the problem lies too is Brady has some personal trainer,
Alex Guerrero.
Yeah, that Belichick basically said no more. Like, he's not going to be a part of the. He can work with you, but that's it. I mean, I guess he had been working with a bunch of other athletes,
yeah,
on the Patriots, and he kind of basically said no more.
There was some tension between him and the team staff.
Well, Gary Myers, 50. Well, I'd say. I mean, I got this morning and I took the picture, but basically, Gary Myers, very well respected national writer. He writes for the New York Daily News. Bill Belichick has always loved the Giants, except perhaps when they beat him twice in the Super Bowl. A very good source tells Gary Myers, of course, this is all Gary Myers speaking here, a very good source told me the Patriots' turmoil could lead to him returning home to Big Blue. I'll tell you something, man. I am all in for that.
Did that feel like you won the Powerball if that happened?
I mean, I'd rather have that. I think I'd rather win $450 million, but can you imagine that storyline? And this thing all gets done, and then he goes back to the New York Football Giants?
If he does, they win a Super Bowl.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he comes back to New York? And you know, there's an article that he wrote that was a part of this as well this morning that I read that said, you know, if you watch, there was an NFL Network show that kind of came on and with him going back to New York, and he got all, it was like back in 2009, and Belichick was emotional and crying and back to Big Blue.
Yeah.
How about that? I'm all in for that, but I don't think it's going to happen. All right, take a quick break when we come back. Hey, UVM basketball. America East is here. They're 10-5. Two big wins on the road. Alex Abramy's going to join us. We're going to talk about what we can expect from this team. Big injury with Lamb, though. Big
huge,
injury.
Huge.
We'll be right back. Don't go away.
No matter how you say it, we are sports. 101.3 ESPN.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
Jeff Paul, Bernie Simplicki.
Party all the time, party all the time.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I know one guy that will be as excited about, or would be as excited about, Belichick going to the Giants as me.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Is our next guest on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Austin's, well, you can't say Austin without Alex.
You're like
Ponch and John.
We're the A-team.
Batman and Robin. I mean, can I go, the Wonder Twins? I mean, I can go all day.
Partner in crime, yeah.
Yeah, there he is. Alex Abramy, the Free Press. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Come home, Bill.
Did you hear that story this morning? Is that not cool? Would that not be unbelievable?
I can't wait. It's going to happen.
I can't wait. It's going to happen. Yeah, I hope so.
I watched that the NFL Network clip on Twitter like last night or the night before. Even I got teary-eyed.
Yeah, it's emotional. It's emotional. You know, see him in that red Giants jacket back, you know, getting carried off the field by LT and Pepper Johnson. Oh, man, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty young during that mid-'80s run, but that's kind of when I started to fall in love with the Giants. So
yeah, well,
those early teams.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Hey, let's change gears here and talk a little about UVM basketball. It's been an interesting offseason, or I shouldn't say offseason, but preseason for the UVM basketball team. I think a team that's got a ton of expectation, a very competitive basketball team, but it's now facing some adversity, minus the two big wins. I thought the two wins they had this past week were spectacular. The win over Harvard was a great win, and then the big win against UMBC. And by the way, UMBC's basketball court?
UMBC.
Looked like a high school gym.
Yeah.
It looked like a CYO court. I thought I was watching a game down in Rutland at IHM again.
Christ the king.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't believe that's a Division I basketball facility. And then watching Harvard, who's got one of the best Ivy League teams, they're one of the best teams in the country, their facility is the same thing. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, am I the only one that thinks that?
No, but Harvard's Harvard.
Harvard. I mean, you go outside and it's beautiful, whatever. But I couldn't get over Lowell. I was like, are people even there? Can you sit there? I mean, you can get good seats. You can sit with the team.
The box score, the attendance was 289.
Yeah, but you could sit on the bench, it looked like. I mean, literally, you could sit on the bench with these guys. That's where they sit.
You got to remember, Lowell just finished its four-year transition to D1 for men's basketball. So this is their first year of postseason eligibility. So it's not like they've been a D1 program for very long.
No, I know, but I mean,
I think they can play big games in the Songa Center, which is like the big arena in town where the hockey team plays, right?
Okay.
Right, Alex?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's right. And as we know from the other night, it's the shooter's gym. So I don't think the players will mind.
All right, let's get into the UVM. So here, they're coming home. Their first game against an American East opponent this year. They're playing UMBC, another really good basketball team. That team's 10-6 coming in, I believe 10-6 coming in today. What can we expect going forward here from this UVM team?
I still think that they're going to be really good. They're still going to be, to me, they're still top two. It's whether you want to give the edge to Albany for now just because of the loss of Anthony Lamb. This team still has talented players. They showed it the last two games. They got better defensively against Harvard, which I think was an encouraging sign, the first game without Lamb. Against Lowell was a little bit different story. They kind of had got into a, back and forth shooters game. But I still think you have to have high hopes and high expectations for this team. It might be a process. It's not going to be like last year where they ran through the conference 16-0 and then on to the 19-0, then on to the NCAA tournament. It's not going to be that type of cruise control where every night they're winning by 10, 12 points. I think it's going to be more of a struggle. As they still try to find their bench too, because you even take out Lamb, they still have a core three or four that are really pretty good. You match it up with anyone else in the league, but then still there's question marks coming off the bench. Like Steph Smith has done fairly well when he gets his minutes. They just activated Bailey Patella, and maybe that could help defensively. Drew Urquhart is now in the starting lineup in replace of Lamb. He comes up with a couple big games, especially against Lowell, having his first double-double since last year against Butler. So, they have some pieces in place. It's just getting everyone to play together and developing their bench. Even before Lamb's injury, they had issues defensively, as we all know. And now you take away your best post defender, not only your best scorer, but your best player defensively in the post, and there's even more question marks defensively. But I think in a system that Becker runs, they tend to play better toward the end of the season. So we'll see if that kind of comes to a head.
I don't know if I'm a half glass half full guy, but that picture you just painted, they're going to be okay. I think this team is loaded. I can't get over the depth of this basketball team, even without Lamb. And I think Lamb, and again, you love Anthony Lamb, and I think it's a huge loss for UVM. There's no question. But I think even he was at times this season, he was just kind of getting into his groove. I think there was all the expectation that poor young man had on his shoulders that he was trying to do too much during the early part of the season. But if you look at the depth of this basketball team, arguably, this is some of the best depth in the country. I mean, I mean that with all sincerity. Watching them play against Harvard, they were a better basketball team than Harvard, and Harvard's going to be the best team in the Ivy League. I thought you're playing against Lowell. I thought it was just a situational where they didn't necessarily play great.
Lowell was weird. Like the Thomas kid, the only guy at UVM could really match up with him would have been Lamb.
Right. I agree with that. And I think there is questions defensively. I don't think they're a great – I don't know if they're not a great defensive basketball team. But when you look at the athletes this basketball team has, and I know that everything might not be – and I think that Becker's biggest problem is he's got so many great athletes. And I did want to talk to you about Bailey Petella, though. I'm interested in this kid. Looks like he's got great size, very athletic. Must have been a difficult just to redshirt him, period. That tells you what kind of depth this team has, that you could redshirt a kid like this. I mean, I think he's going to be a difference maker. I don't know any team in the American East that's going to match up. See, to me, I think this team is set up to make an even more impressive run throughout this season. Where am I missing that?
I don't think you're missing that. I think you can have those expectations. I still think they're, you know, a favorite. I think it's them and Albany. I think if you take out the best player in the league off your team, there's going to be some sort of regauging of what you can do. But they, like you said, I mean, they're still deep enough when you match them up against the rest of the league. I just think that the other factor in play is Albany's. You know, this is kind of this is not about talent. This is not about. It's more intangible. You know, like the motivation. Like UVM last year had all the motivation in the world after losing to Stony Brook in 2016. Well, now that's kind of Albany's thing. Like Albany lost the heartbreaker on UVM's floor last year. And they brought back a good chunk of pretty much their entire team. And now they're kind of motivated to do what UVM did last year. So I think that's the piece. Well, we won't find out until that, you know, the second week in March, what's going to happen. It comes down to three games. And I think it's kind of too close to say whether one team has the edge over the other. You kind of have to play out these next 6-7 weeks. But yeah, UVM is still right there. It's just, I think people take, when you take away Lamb and all these expectations of winning a game or even winning two games in the NCAA tournament, you kind of have to take a step back. And even if you're taking that step back after they lost a few games, a few tough games at Marquette, where they didn't play well defensively. So I think they've kind of readjusted how they can do things. And now without Lamb, you don't take that super high road of we're going to go deep into the tournament. Let's take care of the league play first. Let's get our defense right. Let's get our rotations right before we start down that path again.
I get what you're saying. I truly do. But I have to say, I mean, even the losses they've had, and yes, the Marquette game, they did not play great defense. Even though Marquette make 35 three-pointers? I mean,
well, the kid that torched UVM just lit up someone for 52 this week.
That's what I mean, right. This UVM team played one of the toughest preseasons, pre-conference schedules in the country, especially mid-major, played one of the toughest, and they were in every game. I mean, we could make an argument this team could be 15-0 right now. We legitimately could. And that's without Lamb, and that was without Trey Bell Haynes a little bit. I mean, to me, this team has so many. You just don't know who's going to beat you. You mentioned Steph Smith. I mean, I just look at this basketball team and I think how lucky we are to have them, and how, you know, we kind of get to a point now where we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and we don't want to put the pressure on these cats. But this team has so much depth. What Becker's done to recruit here, to get the athletes he has here, I think is bar none above what any other team in the American East has. Bar none.
Oh, yeah. No, they're deep. It's just, I think, and, you know, if you ask me, really, I would still pick UVM to win. But I think you still have to, I mean, I don't think they're playing the way they want to play. I think that's
on their
end of what they want to do. So
right.
you still got to get there. And then another name you want to throw out there, Everett Duncan is averaging, or he's not averaging, he's shooting 48% on threes. That's pretty quietly shooting 48% on threes.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's taken 50 or 55 or so. So he's hitting his shots too. So that's another piece. The other half of the Duncan brothers that are doing really well in the starting lineup, with Ernie having the, you know, 1 point shy of his career high the other night.
So Alex, like, first of all, it's good to hear your voice. You've taken the last couple of days off, so I missed you. Is UMBC sneaky good tonight? Like, I mean, they beat UNH the other day. They got 10 wins. They throw up an insane amount of threes. Like, what's in store?
I think it's going to be, like last year, it was really interesting with those two matchups where UVM was in control of both those games, like late, like 10 minutes to go, and then UMBC went on this crazy run in both games. And really, and the second one down in Baltimore was even crazier, because I think UVM had like a, I think we were watching that together, or that was the night of a major snowstorm, but
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
They're up by 17 points, and then it was the one time during the year where I thought like UVM kind of cratered under the pressure, and they gave up. You know, they almost gave up the game in the final minute, and then so they won. But I mean, the point is that UMBC, they'll play fast paced, to shoot a lot of threes. They're a tough matchup for UMBC, or they're a tough matchup for UVM because they're so guard heavy, and Jarris Lyles is, you know, one of the best scorers in the country. He's averaging over 20 points a game. So I think that's going to make tonight's game fun, where you kind of see, like, where do you contain Lyles, or do you let him get his and stop everyone else like he did with Jahad Thomas the other night? So there's some interesting storylines in that respect.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, going back to what Jeff was saying, like, when you're looking, and you were saying UVM takes a step back, it might not be a literal step back, but more like a perspective step back, where you're thinking, okay, we need to look at this with a little wider angle lens, because I think the issue for UVM is just, can we play enough defense in the league? Like what you're saying,
scoring,
Jeff,
is not going to be. I mean, they shoot over 48% from the floor. They have really anyone on in their lineup except for a couple guys can lead them in scoring in any given night.
Exactly.
So, like, that's not the problem. That's never really been the problem. I mean, they've always been balanced offensively throughout Becker's run. Now, more so, they have more guys who can score. Like, in the, you know, Becker's first championship team, that wasn't, I mean, they were balanced, but, like, none of those guys were, like, super scorers outside of four McGlynn. But now you got, like, four or five of those guys that can, you know, Bernie goes for 32, and then tonight he might go for just 10, and that's fine. That doesn't matter. But I think my only concern is the defense. I think if they get that right, they're going to be fine, and they can beat anyone in the conference. And then maybe Lamb comes back for the conference playoff.
And I will, and we only have a couple minutes left, and I will say I totally agree with everything you both are saying. I just look at this team and know that their best basketball has not been played yet. It just hasn't been. And what makes you feel good about this basketball team is, and I think what makes it exciting going into conference play, in the past I would say, does it really matter what happens in the conference? Really what matters is that tournament. They just want to get to the tournament. But with this basketball team, I feel like you got to win all these games, because if you get into this NCAA tournament, you want the best seed possible, because you got a shot to win a game. I really do. This team has got so much depth. They've got so much going for them. I feel like this is a team that could be one of those years where they win two games in the NCAA tournament if the matchup is right. They can play with anybody.
Yes, they can. And like you said, it still matters about the conference play, because
right,
you get that top seed, you don't go anywhere.
Right.
You make Albany.
Understood.
Or you make anyone else come to you, because as we know, winning at Patrick Gym is very hard to do for any opponent.
No, and there's no question you got to win all these games. I'm not denying that, but what I'm just saying is in the past you just think, well, they're going to be in the position to win this. They just got to win that tournament. This year you feel like you want all those wins to not only get you the home court, but also to give you a potential great seed when that NCAA tournament thing comes out. So anyway, Alex, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Keep our fingers crossed on Bill Belichick wearing blue again.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a great afternoon. You two guys have more knowledge in your head than I've ever had in my life. You know what I mean?
That's not true.
It is true.
That's not true.
I always say this when you guys are on the air. I could ask you a question about a field hockey player at Oxbow High School, and you could tell me the best player on the team. I won't
only,
do it to you right
if
now.
Only you could transfer.
It's out of season. It's out of season. I'm going to hit you with a field hockey question.
Thank
but what
you.
I'm saying is, you guys, I'm telling you, the free press, you guys have to understand. In our community, I tell you this all the time, not only do we have great sports, but you got two great writers.
Subscribe.
How about me helping you out here? You know what I mean?
I love it.
That's what
I'm
here
people
for you. That's what we do. All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more NFL. The playoffs. We got wild card weekend this weekend. Dave's Rams are playing.
Yeah,
he's excited,
baby,
about that. And I do want to talk about something you said off air about the Patriots. Yeah, that was a very interesting point. We want to talk about that as well. Because why not talk more about the New England Patriots? I mean, they're kind of a big deal around here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you?
Your ball?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
This hour of Sports Saturday is brought to you by The Archives, a combination arcade and bar that focuses on vintage arcade games, unique craft beers, and creative cocktails located at 191 College Street in downtown Burlington.
Used to be the Free Press.
Exactly.
That's a fun spot, too.
Oh, it's a great spot. And they got some great games in there, man. Some old school games. I mean, the NBA Jam.
Yeah.
I mean, I got some friends that are under the Pac-Man and like Galaga and all that stuff. But, man, the NBA Jam, I spent a lot of time playing that.
That's fun.
They even have Knockout in there. Remember Knockout, where you could be like, you had to fight Bald Bull and Glass Joe and all those guys? Oh, yeah. So if you haven't checked them out, go check those guys out at the Archives, 191 College Street, the old Free Press building. Go see my buddy Matt down there. He'll take good care of you. Interesting conversation we just had about UVM men's basketball. I'm all in with UVM men's basketball. I watch a lot of college hoops. I really am. And I'm not saying it because they're here. I mean, you know that. I mean, I'm being very honest. I tell you, if I didn't think they were any good, this team's loaded. They're loaded. I am so impressed with what John Becker's done at UVM. I was impressed with, obviously, we love Tom Brennan, what he created here at UVM. You know, what's gone on here with Lonergan. I mean, it's kind of the handoff has been handed off to these coaches. And Lonergan went on to George Washington. And since John Becker's here, I feel like he's taken the program to the next level.
Oh, yeah.
Not only in terms of this where they're winning, but the players they're bringing in here. Mm-hmm. These are big-time players. Mm-hmm. And if you watch them match up with some of the best teams in the country, they're with them. They are right with them. This is a UVM team that would compete in the Big East. This is a UVM team that I know would compete in the Ivy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they'd be a top 3-4 team in the ACC, but I bet you they'd be middle of the road ACC. Mm-hmm. I really do. If you look at the athletes they have and look at the style they play with and the ability they have and the depth they have. I mean, we didn't even mention the two Duncan kids. I mean, we mentioned Everett. But Ernie is, I mean, I think Ernie Duncan is the X factor on the team anyway. I think if Ernie Duncan has a big year, this team goes a long way.
Yeah, that jump shot
what was he like? I mean, I don't know what the
10 of 11 at Lowell.
Yeah, exactly. At one point it was 8 for 9. I mean, he was single-handedly keeping in the game, but they've got so much depth. Yeah. They have so many players that can beat you. I don't know how you even prepare to defend this basketball team, especially in the America East. I just don't know how you do it.
Do you think anybody from the NCAA selection committee is listening right now, or do you know anybody?
I will say this. I mean, I don't know anybody personally, but I do know that people are paying attention to them.
Yeah.
I've got people that I know in the southern part of the country that work in bigger conferences that talk about UVM to me. I've spoken to them about UVM. People know. I mean, Jay Billis is talking about UVM. I mean, everybody knows what they represent. I would love to see them get in a situation where they match up with somebody that they, I feel like this team would be, I would never want to see this team in the NCAA tournament.
I agree. So what made me say that?
Yeah,
you're talking if UVM is a middle of the pack ACC team,
pick a conference, SEC, something like that, Big East, yeah.
Those middle of the pack teams that they just start funneling into the tournament these last few years because the selection committee is populated by all these big conference people.
Yeah,
they give these 10 loss middle of the road big conference teams a 10 seed or 11 seed.
That's right.
And meanwhile, UVM gets punted to a 13 or 14 against a gnarly Purdue team. But any of those, fours or fives last year were bad matchups.
And let's be honest here. That I felt like the only matchup they had was in that first round game from when they were seed last year with Purdue was just a tough matchup because of the size problem.
The size, but like I think West Virginia was another 4.
Yeah, I mean
West Virginia
would have been a real problem. But I mean, again, most of those seems to be a problem. But I thought the Purdue matchup was worse for them than even West Virginia was.
Yeah,
I do. I think I think UVM this team. If you are a big time program, pick a team that's going to be in the top 2-3 seeds in each bracket that's coming up in March. You do not want to see UVM.
Yeah,
you just don't want to see them. I mean, if you watch the way they match up with Kentucky, you watch the way they match up with Marquette, you watch the way they match up with everybody, even Harvard, Harvard's a good basketball team.
Yeah, I think they were missing one key guy. But
I don't care.
So was
UVM, and UVM ran. I mean, beat them. I mean, they looked like they were a better basketball. Look, Harvard had to do a lot to stay in that game. They took a lot of 3-pointers. I couldn't believe it. Actually, I was shocked how many 3-pointers Harvard took.
Yeah.
I texted Bernie. I was like, Is Amaker got a new philosophy at Harvard? I mean, this is kind of new to me.
What did he say?
Bernie just said, he's missing a couple guys. Bernie can't say anything bad about a Dookie.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Amaker's a big Dookie, so he can't say anything bad about a Dookie. He's just such a big Duke, man. How about my Cavaliers, by the way? You want to talk about a good basketball
team?
That's
a sharp sweatshirt.
Thank you very much. I like the orange. Virginia's basketball team is gold, man. They got a big game with North Carolina today, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Okay.
But big game today. Watch out. 1 o'clock ESPN. That's where I'm going to be. All right, let's get into the NFL playoffs. Some big games coming up this weekend. It's wild card weekend. There's a lot of cool things happening. But you made an interesting point about that. We were talking about the Patriot, the issues that we obviously are starting to see, or if we really are seeing them. The Patriots make the joint announcement that we're all in this together, which you believe. In any organization, anything, anywhere there's any success, I think you're going to have issues at times where the leadership or the key players or the key players that play roles are not always going to get along.
Right.
And I think that's what we're seeing with New England. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is just some ploy by Belichick and Kraft to say, let's throw something out there, kind of like keep the pressure off the players. We'll kind of keep it all on us.
Well, right. You know. So you read that story and you try and think, because no source is named.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, they're significant sources inside the team. Who comes out sounding the best of those, you know, those big three named? Was it Kraft? Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? And I think the way to read it is Belichick looked the best.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the way it reads, like, Kraft gets in the way. Kraft sided for Brady. Brady has this, you know, relationship with Guerrero that's sort of slightly toxic within the team, because guys feel like they should maybe go to Guerrero and not the team doctors.
Right.
Which the team doesn't, you know, they don't say don't go see him.
Right.
But it's a weird situation. So,
well, and then obviously Belichick says Guerrero's no longer on the sideline, no longer allowed to deal with any other players.
I don't think he should have been if he wasn't.
No, I totally agree.
The team staff.
I totally agree. I guess you know, and again, I don't listen. First of all, I don't know Tom Brady at all. I don't know Bill Belichick at all. I did meet Bob Kraft at a restaurant in West Palm Beach about four years ago. Very nice man. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of them personally, but from what you see. In the like when you what you see at a Tom Brady and what you see at a Belichick, what you see at a Kraft, I just can't imagine that these three guys aren't fine. That there's always going to be issues. There's always going to be business issues. There's going to be things, and Brady may honestly feel like, hey, I want to play another 4 or 5 years. I want to play 3 years, and I don't want this kid here. I'm a little anxious about it, but I just can't imagine Tom Brady getting to a point where you're telling somebody like he needs to go. It's either he or me. I guess this is like
that
something
fell out of character.
I just feel like this is another typical move by the media to make something that's out of really nothing. It's like we find a little strife with the Patriots, so now we're going to make a big deal, you know, over all this. You know what I mean? I feel like it's something that's probably nothing. That's my philosophy now. I hope it is something because I want Belichick to be on the sideline with the Giants. I'm all in with that. But interesting things we're going. All right, so let's look at some of these games. Tennessee at Kansas City. I think Kansas City is playing better football. That's a scary football team, in my opinion, right now. I think Kansas City's a scary team.
Their highs are probably higher than any other team in the AFC except for the Patriots and the Steelers.
But I will say about the AFC, I think everything in the AFC right now is pushing for New England to be in the Super Bowl. It's like if there was anything more sure bet, I don't know if there's been a more sure bet in the last five seasons right now than the AFC playoff picture to me.
Yeah, I'm concerned if they have to play the Jags in the second round.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's
talk about that. So okay. Buffalo, what a story. Buffalo's going to Jacksonville. I'm rooting for Buffalo, man. I have some diehard friends that are huge fans of Buffalo. They are so excited about this, but I can't imagine Buffalo going into Jacksonville, especially without McCoy, in beating that defense.
Yeah, so you lose your best rusher. You're going against one of the best pass rushes in the game. With a quarterback who's okay, as mobile as he is.
Yeah, you don't know what he's going to be. Yeah, right.
Their big game was last week.
Yeah.
Do they have two great games in them in a row?
But, you know, I'm one of those guys that says things happen for reasons, and the way the Bills got in makes you think maybe there's some magic here.
I don't get the magic.
Maybe there's some magic. I mean, they go down to Miami and beat Miami, and then all of a sudden Cincinnati finds a way to get it done on 4th and 15 with the clock running down at Baltimore in the middle of cold weather.
The only magic in Buffalo is lake effect snow.
By the way, did you watch that Buffalo game when who are they playing in that huge snowstorm right before Christmas?
The highlights were impressive.
I just watched that game. It was the most intriguing game. Who were they playing? I remember they got whoever they were playing really got screwed over though late in the game. They called the pass interference and a 2-point conversion. What is wrong with me? I can't think of. I was watching that game. Oh, I'm having brain. Anyway, that was something. I'm rooting for Buffalo. I got Kansas
brain
City.
Brain fart.
I've got Kansas City and I got Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville beats Buffalo. Atlanta going out to L.A. I've never been a big Atlanta guy. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Ryan is one of those guys that he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's an elite quarterback, and I don't think they go out west and beat L.A.
That's someone's happy here.
Can't throw from his butt, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. I think the Rams are too good.
Too much.
To be, and considering the travel and everything else, yep. they're too good.
They really are. And the Rams have been a nice story this year. I mean, their coach McVay has done a phenomenal job.
He's my age.
I know, it's unbelievable what he's been able to do.
Coach of the year.
And you feel good about what Goff's turned himself into. I mean, that was a kid that was left kind of for dead last year. People thought that it was a big mistake. The Rams drafted him. He's turned into at least elite, looking like he's an elite quarterback. And what can you say about Gurley?
Yeah.
MVP.
That's what Dave says.
By the way, he was on my fantasy team. That's why I won my fantasy league. I just want to say I did draft him. And then Carolina's at New Orleans. I am always about Carolina. I always want to say that Cam Newton, I think, is one of the best athletes in the league. But then I watch him play like I did last week, and I think, how are you not a better quarterback? With everything you have around you and the ability that you potentially – how are you not a better quarterback? I think they're going to – but I'm still going to pick him to go in and beat New Orleans. I'm not sold on New Orleans either.
As long as New Orleans has Kamara, I'm on board with New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, I think how can you not? I mean, they're the favorite, but there's just this Carolina team to me. I always think Cam Newton has got to be the best quarterback in the league, but I don't know why he's not.
And I was at the Patriots game when they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, he has moments where it's like he's unstoppable force, and then it's like you look like Eli Manning. Ugh. What are you doing? By the way, I got another good buddy text. He said, you haven't mentioned a thing about John Gruden going to L.A. or going to Oakland or wherever they're going to be, Las Vegas. How about John Gruden? 10 years, $100 million.
Good to be Gruden.
Good to be Gruden. Good to be Gruden. Whatever. The eyebrow thing is back. I like that. I like Gruden anyway. Good stuff. All right. Take a quick break when we come back. I want to tell you something. I did for the first time in my life, I did something yesterday and the day before. The first time ever. And I'm going to tell you about it when we get back.
Red Sox, the Patriots, the Bruins, the home for all of them. 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, so Austin, I have to tell you. So as I left, I told you I did something for the first time in my life I've never done before, and people probably think it's kind of crazy. But
I thought it was you paid someone to go outside and start your car.
No, I didn't do that. That's a good idea. I should have done that this morning, but. No, I've never binge-watched anything in my life. Like, I didn't understand what binge-watching was. Like, I mean, I definitely sat down and watched TV for many hours in a row, but I've never, sat down and said, I'm going to watch a whole season of something. And in fact, the last time I just got Netflix. So the first time I ever had Netflix is when you'd go online, you pick the movie you want, and they'd send it to you in the mail.
Yeah.
That's the last time my wife and I had Netflix. It was like, in the wintertime, we get Netflix. You'd say, oh, you want to watch these movies? Okay, and mail them to you, then you mail them back. So we get Netflix Thursday night. Thursday night at 9 o'clock, we decided to get Netflix, and everyone's talking about the show Stranger Things. Okay, now I'm into, The Walking Dead. Like, I'm all into The Walking Dead right now.
Okay.
I didn't watch the first, few seasons, but I get it, you know. But I've been in the last, three or four seasons, I'm all in with The Walking Dead. Sunday nights when that's on, leave me alone, I'm watching Walking Dead. So now my wife, everyone's like, you gotta watch Stranger Things. So I'm like, yeah, we'll see what this show is all about. So we get this Netflix. Thursday night at 10 o'clock, I put on episode 1, season 1 of Stranger Things. I watched 7 episodes of that. I was up to 2 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't stop watching. I couldn't stop watching. In fact, I gotta go to work. I gotta get up and go to work. I gotta go to bed. So I go to bed. Friday, I work most of the day. Middle of the day, I go home just to check on, you know, make sure things are healthy, slow down at the restaurant a little bit. I'm like, I'll watch one episode. I watched 2 more episodes in between. I'm like, I gotta leave. I gotta go home. Then last night at midnight, I'm like, I'm just gonna watch. I just gotta see what happened first. So now I'm on season 2. I've watched episode 1, season 2 of Stranger Things, and now I'm all in with Stranger Things.
Attaboy.
I think it's pretty odd that where I'm at with Stranger Things is that the chief there, Hopper, at the end of it, he's getting ready to have a TV dinner, and there's Eleven sitting with him. All of a sudden, Eleven's sitting with, I mean, I can't imagine what the heck is going on there.
Yeah.
And poor Mike's looking for Eleven. I mean, yeah. I feel bad for poor Michael. Yeah. And there's Eleven hanging out with the cop.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much going on with this show. I'm all in. Now I don't know. I'm on the different types of worlds. I mean, I don't know what's going on. And that poor kid, the kid that got abducted there, you know, they end up getting out of the opposite world. I'm all over this all of a sudden. Now I can't wait to get home. Now I'm going to be out of town tonight, so I can't watch it.
Oh, man.
But what I like about this Netflix thing is that I didn't realize this, is that they put all of the...
They dump everything
They just
once.
Dump it all at once. So it's not like it's now we're in season 2. You got to wait each week. We'll give you new... No, there's 10 episodes. They're all out there, baby. You can sit there all day and watch them. No wonder this whole country's so lazy. How do you not keep watching? I'm binge watching. I've become a binger.
I got through the season 2 within, I think, 36 hours, and I had to work 16 of those hours, and I slept 8 of those hours. So figure out what I did the rest of the time.
Oh, I have a problem. All right. Anyway,
I have a lot of problems.
I can't get over that. I'm now binge watching. Now, but I feel like I have something to talk to people about, because people talk about to me all the time, and I always felt like I was out of the loop. Now I'm in. Stranger Things on Netflix. Get it. You're going to like it.
Boy, are we running late.
It's Sports Center time.
We need a new producer.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jeff Paul.
It's my quarterback.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I have to apologize that you gave me lesson number one of binge watching. It's like, Jeff, what are you doing? You're talking about the first episode. You're talking about episode one in season two. It's only been out for 3 months. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I'm going to be done with this first two seasons. Like, by Monday, I'll be done. Maybe Tuesday.
Hopefully, there's that Venn diagram of Sports Saturday listeners and Stranger Things watchers.
I apologize if I've just screwed this up for you guys. I'm sorry. I guess there's rules you shouldn't be talking about this. I thought, since this show's been out, you just said that the second season started, like, before Halloween. I'm all in. I mean, I've never been a binge watcher, but now I can see. Like, maybe I have to go see somebody. Like, I'm all about this. Honestly, last night at like midnight, I'm like, I'm going to watch. I worked all day. I'm like, I'm going to watch another one. I could have done it all night. That's the problem. Like, I had to stop myself.
Set boundaries for yourself.
I'm doing it. I'm learning that.
Have you ever seen the best show on TV ever, Breaking Bad?
Well, I never watched that. No,
that's binge watch that.
Well,
that's
my buddy Mike just sent me a text. He's like, so he goes, I have to say, he goes, you're telling me that you've never had Netflix prior to this past Thursday? He goes, you're joking. And I'm telling you the truth. And Mike, I'm being honest with you. The only Netflix I had was when Netflix first came out. You would go online, and if you wanted, there are movies you want to see, and they'd mail them to you for like a couple bucks, and you just put them back in the mail. So that's what I would do in the winter. We'd get, that's the last time I had Netflix. He also says another good show is Bloodline. You watch that show?
I've not gotten into Bloodline.
Yeah, I don't know about Bloodline. Is that about vampires?
No, it's about family and crime. Oh. I think it's set in the Florida Keys.
Yeah. Like, Florida Keys, genes. I'm all in for that. And by the way, the game that we were talking about was they were playing the Colts, the game in the snow with
Bills
Buffalo.
And the Colts,
yeah,
with
yeah.
like 6 inches of
a lot of snow. Yeah. More than that.
That was just on the field.
That was unbelievable. I mean, that was like playing back when I was a kid, you know, after school when they have a snowstorm. I mean, it was that crazy.
And the Colts, like, out there, like, they take extra timeouts so they can, like, kick away the snow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So something that happened this week that I, you know, and I don't know if I'm mad at it, if I respect it, is and again, it didn't just happen, but this LeVar Ball phenomenon that we have here in the United States. That has now seeped off into the whole world, as when the Ball Boys showed up in Lithuania, they're playing. If you don't know, the two Leangelo and
the other one,
the two ball kids. Not Lonzo,
yes,
who's playing for the Lakers.
Leangelo and LaMelo.
LaMelo and Leangelo are now playing balls. In Lithuania. You can believe that. Okay, they come.
I hear the Baltic Sea is great.
Well, they get off the airplane and there's like thousands of people there waiting for these guys. I don't, and here's my thing. This is a great country. This is a wonderful, wonderful country. And again, I don't know if I'm like frustrated or like annoyed with Ball or if I'm not, but like LeVar Ball has never done anything that would deem him the notoriety in what he's created for himself except his mouth.
Yes.
I mean, he is proof that you can be anything you want in this country if you believe it and you're passionate about it. Because I don't know what exactly the phenomena is about two kids that have done really nothing. They're good athletes, good basketball players. Lonzo, I think, is going to be a great pro with the Lakers. And by the way, I really like Lonzo Ball. He is nothing like his dad in terms of personality. And I feel bad for Lonzo at some aspects because there's been such a picture and something painted about him.
Agreed, yeah.
That you feel like, and now he's playing for one of the greatest organizations in NBA history. And you know the pressure. He's the point guard for the Lakers. I mean, think about the point guards that played for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. He needs to be the savior to bring back the glory years with the Lakers. And I think he's had a decent year with all the exposure. But here is a guy in LeVar Ball that's created a whole brand, the triple B or 3B or whatever they are, the big baller brand. And he's now taking his kids out. You know, you got one kid that when he got caught stealing in China with his UCLA team, took him off the team, took his other kid. They went to Lithuania. Now they're playing basketball. And now, I mean, I'm Facebook on SportsCenter on Facebook. I got to watch these guys practice. What have they ever done? Yeah. What do they mean? But here's my thing. I almost respect LeVar Ball for what he's created. for getting out in front and for, I mean, and for creating this brand that he did. I always compared him, if, and I've said this before on the show many times we've talked when he's come up, I've compared him to Reggie Dunlop from the movie Slapshot. Did anyone see the old 70s movie Slapshot?
Of course. It's a classic.
Yeah.
The Hanson Brothers.
Yeah, the Hanson Brothers. Okay, but Reggie Dunlop was played by the very famous actor who just passed
Paul
away.
Newman.
Paul Newman. And basically, if you haven't seen the movie, it's
James Caan?
If James Caan was not in it, it was Paul Newman. But if you have not seen the movie, it's one of the greatest, funniest sports movies ever. But if you're young, don't watch it and don't let your kids watch it because it's not exactly a family movie. But it's very funny. And it's, you know, and it's not very, it's just a goofy movie. But anyway, basically, the whole premise of the story is that Reggie Dunlop, the coach, he's a player coach for his team, the Charlestown Chiefs, and they're a terrible hockey team, and they're not winning, and they live in a city that has a huge factory, and the factory's going to close, and they know that, they understand that means the team's going to fold. And so what Reggie Dunlop does is Reggie Dunlop creates this alter ego that's not really who he is, but he comes off as this wild man, and he starts calling players out, and he just creates these falsehoods that aren't really real. But people don't believe, people don't know it because the public believes that they're crazy.
Fake sports.
To create all types of interest in their team so they wouldn't end up losing their jobs. They'd find other jobs, people would be interested in them.
Right.
That's what I feel like. LeVar Ball comes home at night with his wife and they just start laughing like, or he just goes, oh my God, I'm exhausted from acting like a moron all day, but the money keeps coming in. I mean, and I part of me says, you know, here's a guy that really,
if that's an act, he's in the wrong business.
But that's what I mean. But how can it not be? But that might be, but look what he's created. I mean, those two kids are superstars over there right now. When they got off the airplane, it was like Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley showed up. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like the Beatles showed up out there. I mean, and to me, it's like, what have they done? Not only what have they done to get that kind of fanfare, fair enough, like they've got that kind of fanfare, but why are we, why, and I'm doing it right now, but what are we saying about us that we
do
put
really
them on the front page?
Do you really want to know why?
It doesn't matter why.
I know why.
Well, why do you?
I know I hate to go off into politics,
well,
but
you know,
it's not about politics.
Completely disagree with you. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with
popular.
Politics. It has to do with being, I think, at times the loudest and creating a brand. And I think I can't get over it, but I'm like, he's really built this thing up. I mean, he sits on the sidelines at Madison Square Garden. The camera's on him all the time. People are surrounded. People want to be around. They want to talk to him. They want to see what he's going to say next. He's on every national sports show all the time. It's like, what's LeVar Ball saying today? And it's like, what a country. You can become a billionaire and you can become famous and not really do anything at all except say things that are completely outrageous.
Yeah, it's nuts.
This is Mike. I don't mean to go ranting here. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join us. 802-655-6672. Or you can go to the Town Fair Tire text line, the same number, 655-6672. But as a media member, and that's you, and this is what you do for a living, you're trying to create a scoop all the time. We live in 24-hour news cycles now. So you're always trying to get the hottest, funniest, coolest thing. LeVar Ball is perfect for that.
Yeah. I think a formula to get attention that he became relevant when his son Lonzo became a hot prospect.
How big a deal has Lonzo Ball been? How big a deal? Like, honestly, he was a good player at UCLA.
He was the launch pad.
I agree.
He was the vehicle to get him in.
Bernie from Colchester. How do you like the new bullhorn?
I'm glad this is your last day. Did you say Bernie from Colchester?
I'm sad it's Dave's last day, Jeff.
If you were in here, you wouldn't be. He's got He's got a bullhorn going on over all. My God, you should see what's going on in here.
Yeah. He's going out with a bang.
You sure? Yeah. You're not kidding. What's going on, buddy?
A bang.
Nothing. I just, I apologize for not being in on Dave's last day, but I just wanted to call in and say thank you and let you guys know I appreciated the nice time we had together. And Dave, you always kept us on our toes, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, my only regret is that I'm unable to be like you and experience me on the radio.
Well, you know, Dave, I do find it ironic that on your last day, it's just the ending of radio here, just like it's the ending of your Rams season tonight.
Oh, where'd he go?
He just hung up on Bernie Zablicki. Did you really hang up on Bernie?
I really did. That's very mean what he said.
First of all, Bernie calls up to thank you, to honor you a little bit. In the middle of Austin and I have a conversation.
Bernie, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay, you didn't hang up on me. Good. I was about to scold him for you, Bert.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate
You're welcome.
That.
You're welcome.
So that's it, man. I got nothing. I hope you guys are staying warm. And Dave, again, I appreciate what you've done for us for the last couple years. Hard to believe it's been that long. And Jeff, looking forward to continuing to make it better as we get to 2018.
Hey, buddy. Me too, pal.
Who's the new guy coming in to replace me?
You're irreplaceable, so I don't know.
Oh, I like that.
Hey, are you going to be on ESPN3 tonight?
I will be up at Patrick Gym tonight.
Okay, how many? So let's do it right now. The over-under on flushes needs to be 3.
I hope so, because I'll be interested to see for the Catamounts tonight. Tough matchup tonight. The guy Lyles from UMBC can just score like nobody we've seen this year.
We had Alex Abrami on to talk about UVM earlier. I don't know if you heard the show earlier. We talked about this team. Bertie, what can we expect with Lamb out now? I mean, you're very close to this basketball team. You cover them for ESPN3. I mean, can we still expect the same type of success that this team's had, or the team that we've expected now, even though we don't have Lamb anymore?
You know, again, I think with the senior leadership that we have, you know, again, we're not replacing Anthony Lamb with a younger, unproven guy. Drew Urquhart hasn't had the chance to really step into the spotlight, but he is stepping into it right now. And I just think, you know, with this team, you know, there's not going to be a lot of glamour. They're just going to grind. You know, they're either going to be up 8 every game or down 8. It's always going to kind of be in that range, in my opinion. I just think they're very talented, and Ernie Duncan's playing great.
Really,
and our player of the year, Trey Balhaines, has struggled the last 2 games. So as soon as he starts to get it going, well, we're going to be fine. It's just it's going to be a grind.
I'm with you, man. I think this team is dangerous. I'm telling you, I think this team. And do we expect Anthony Lamb back? Do you think you'll see him back on the floor this year?
I hope so, but again, I also look at it from a different angle. I truly believe Anthony Lamb has the ability to make a lot of money after college playing basketball, and you don't want to mess with your feet. And, you know, to rush back to, you know, play in the America East, or to play in the, if they're lucky enough, the postseason, whether it's the NCAA or whatever one of those tournaments are after, you know, I just think you got to be cautious, and you got to think, be a little selfish if you're Anthony Lamb at that point. And maybe, you know, that statement is not going to go over well with our fans in the community, because nobody wants to see UVM win as much as I do, but I also want to see Anthony take care of himself, because I don't want him to rush back and re-injure himself and prolong his process.
Bernie Siplicki, watch him tonight at ESPN3, UVM and UMBC. Thanks for calling, pal. We'll talk to you later on.
No problem, Dave. Thanks again, man. Best of luck.
Love you, Bernie.
Love you too, bud. Bye-bye.
You know, Bernie mentioned taking care of your feet. You know, my wife has been bugging me for years to go to get a pedicure with her. Never happened.
That's a different kind of taking care of your feet.
What are you talking about? Same thing. I mean, I'm never doing it. I can't imagine doing that and having somebody I know walk in. I just can't imagine it. All right, I mean, I just being in that, I will never do that.
I think it's an unspoken moment between whoever you and that person
are. I think it's
are.
Like eye contact, and you just kind of say, like, man. Right before my wedding, she made me get a spray tan. Because she was concerned about, because I had just come off soccer season, and I'm wearing a hat during soccer,
oh boy.
You know. So it was like, it was like tan white. So she's like, you're getting a spray tan. So she makes me go to this, like 3 days before the wedding. This is a while ago when I got married.
And you know, they got spray on hair too, you know.
Yeah, I know. I tried that years ago. It didn't work either. But anyway, they had to get a spray tan. I was like, I mean, I'm telling you, and I'm like, if somebody walks in here and sees me getting a spray tan, it's going to be really bad. But I love her, so I did it. So wait, again, your speech, you're like, oh my God.
Your back's against the wall.
I was. So I did get a spray tan, but I'm never getting a pedicure. I'm just making that known right now.
Line in the sand.
Attaboy. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, hey, we got to talk about college football. Big championship on Monday.
Football.
Football. We'll be right back.
Football.
When you need sports, we've got your fix. We're 101.3 ESPN at 101.3ESPN.com.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
Now I really end this combined.
Yeah, but the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I guess you were absolutely right about this binge-watching thing. Mike Zardy from Mike and Mary in the Morning just ran here and said, you got to be stopped talking about the same... I've been watching the same show, but I'm only in episode 3 of season 1, and you're stopped talking about it. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
You're lucky he didn't listen to the part.
He is. Exactly. I would have spoiled the whole thing for him. Well, not really, but he would have known that something... Well, see, he would have known something was going down. I don't even know what's going down. It's Stranger Things. Everything's strange. I do like that kid with the blue and red hat, though. What's his name?
Chubby guy.
He's great, man. Yeah. That kid is funny. Those kids are awesome. The thing is, I think they're kind of... And the other thing I like about that show is that it's all based around, like, when I was growing up, like, the toys that they have are the toys that I had. It's a good-looking Millennium Falcon he's got in that.
Vintage.
That's a vintage Falcon. I had one of those, but I sold it for tennis balls. When we were kids, when we got older, and we stopped playing with, like, action figures...
Barbies.
Because we started playing baseball, what we did was we played baseball with tennis balls in our street. So we would have yard sales to the other kids in the neighborhood and sell all that stuff off so we could go buy tennis balls.
Yeah.
Retrospect now, those things are worth tons of money.
Oh, yeah.
And I had everything. I had the Death Star. I had the Millennium Falcon. I had all the action figures. I had all the G.I. Joes, all the Transformers,
Voltron.
Did you
have like the Ghostbusters? They had like the pack that you'd put on that was
They had one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I wish I never knew about that. When I wanted a Ghostbusters pack, I used my parents' vacuum hose and a backpack. That's what I want. That's how it was Peter Venkman.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Pete. That was my guy. Yeah, Pete Venkman. Sorry, boys. It's Dr. Venkman. They hate it when I do this. Anyway, let's talk a little about college football here. So I thought the best college football game I have watched in numerous years was this Oklahoma-Georgia game on New Year's night, New Year's afternoon. That was an unbelievable football game.
I tuned
game.
In for the last like 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and then OT. Yeah.
And then one of the most boring football games I've ever watched was the Alabama-Clemson game. Mm-hmm. Like, put me right to sleep. Now, I totally think that the best team in the country is Alabama. I thought the best team in the country was Alabama from week one. I thought Alabama should be in this. I know there was all these people uproaring that Ohio State should be the fourth team to get in. I thought the team that hated to see Alabama get in the most was Clemson. I thought that Clemson, being the number one seed, has to end up playing Alabama, who is the best team. I think we have the best two teams in the country playing tomorrow. Monday. I think Georgia's spectacular. I love Kirby Smart. I thought I had never seen a football coach control a game like Kirby Smart did. He worked that sideline like a poet. I mean, he had his hand on every second of that football game against Oklahoma. And I thought when they went down 31-14, from that point on, he blew Oklahoma's coaching staff out of the water in terms of coaching.
Yeah. Well, to be in that big a hole and come back and win. Yeah,
if you watched it closely, he was so active in that game. I mean, he was so engaged in every second. It's almost even when they were down 31-14, he was still like you could see he was still in it. Like he realized his guys were still in it. And I'll tell you what, I was really impressed. I didn't really think much of Kirby Smart going into the game. I'm not just because I hadn't followed a whole lot.
Right.
I watched him play Notre Dame. Notre Dame should have beat that football team earlier in the season. I thought that, you know, they were just a good SEC team, a decent SEC team, but watching what he did in that game, I'm going to pay attention to him. I think he's going to be the next great coach in college football.
Okay, you're calling your shot.
Yeah, I'm calling my shot. But my point being is that there's nothing better to watch during any, if you're a sports fan, there's nothing better than the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament.
Agreed.
We have got to have more than four teams in this thing. I'll tell you my point. UCF is a perfect example of why you need to have more than four teams. I would like to see 16 teams. I know you said earlier off air, eight teams. UCF is a perfect example of a team that went undefeated, and I know they're naming themselves national champions because they're undefeated, and their schedule does not dictate that they should even be in the top four teams. But wouldn't it be fun to see what an undefeated UCF team could have done against Clemson, what an undefeated UCF team could do against Alabama? Wouldn't it be fun to see Ohio State in this tournament? Wouldn't it be fun to see Wisconsin in this tournament? Wouldn't it be fun to see Notre Dame in this tournament? Wouldn't it be fun to see Miami in this tournament? I can go down and we can talk about this, but if you ever put a tournament together that had more, that, and I like 16 because I like to see those. I think the NCAA tournament with the upsets and you look at these upstart teams that come in, I love to see this. I think you would have one of the most intriguing playoffs in the history of playoffs if you did this.
Kevin from Williston.
Kevin from Williston on the line. Kevin, good morning, buddy. What's happening? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too.
What's happening today,
pal? I just want to make a comment about when you were talking about LeVar Ball.
Yes.
Have you noticed that all three of those kids, it's like when he started them on basketball, they were like too little. They all have this like mechanically unsound shot put shot that's just going to get smacked, or, you know, they're not. None of them are going to be scorers in the NBA. You look at Lonzo, he may be a great, you know, assist guy, but he's never going to be a great scorer.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people talk about it, and we appreciate the call, and you can stay on with us if I try to answer your question. I agree with you. I guess my point being is that these are three kids, and I really like Lonzo Ball. I think the way he carries himself, he's not bigger than life. I mean, I don't think he acts like, he doesn't act anything like his father. I mean, he's just trying to be a great pro, and you can definitely attack people's form, but I could say this: Reggie Miller never had a great, didn't look like he had perfect form either, but had one of the best releases ever to play. So just because it may be a little bit long for these guys, I mean, I don't know how it's going to translate for the other two in professionally, and I don't know how it's going to translate for Lonzo professionally. But I can tell you, my point is that it's an amazing country that a guy like LeVar Ball, that's really done nothing except really just talk, has now become this product. And that, to me, is what's more stunning than anything else.
Yeah, but you got to kind of feel bad for this kid. He's 16 years old, and he's over in Lithuania. Let the kid, yeah, you know, go to high school, experience, you know, being a kid.
Dying.
I mean, he's got to go over there, and he's going to be playing with full-grown men. He's probably going to get knocked around.
Oh, yeah, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, I agree with you, but at the end of the day, they're creating a brand. That's the point, I think.
I'm on board with Kevin there. Like,
yeah.
If I'm 16, 17 years old, I'm from Southern California, one of the last places in the world I'd like to go to do anything would be Lithuania.
Just the fact that, would you ever, that wouldn't even be it. Hey, you want to go to Lithuania?
I would go to Lithuania in the summer,
right,
to see stuff as, sure, part of like a bigger trip.
Yeah, like a trip.
But to be like more or less forcibly taken by my dad to go do something, like the vibe I got from like that, when you think about it from that angle, that was unsettling for me.
Well, of course it's unsettling, but look, he's a 16-year-old. Okay, but so put yourself in the position. You're 16 years old, and your dad is LeVar Ball, and Big Baller Brand is out there, and you're being branded, and you're being, you know, and you go out there, and you get off the airplane, there's 10,000 people that just can't wait to meet you. You're 16 years old. I mean, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And this is what these guys know. Again, I don't think they should be there either. I think both those kids would be great in college, in high school. Let a 16-year-old kid finish his year in college. Let the kid, you know, play college. The other kid that got in trouble in China, finish the year and go play college basketball and then see what happens. But the point is whether you agree with what he's doing or not, he's doing it, and he's created an amazing brand from doing nothing. It's not like this is Michael Jordan. It's not like this is Charles Barkley. This is LeVar Ball. What has LeVar Ball ever done except talk?
The entrepreneurial aspect of it.
Spectacular.
Is incredible.
It happened. He should write a book.
But you tell me the last, you know, person you met who, when they were a teenager or young adult, had the adulation or, you know, affection of thousands of people, let alone hundreds of people. So what?
I mean, Bernie Siplicki is probably the only one that comes to my mind. I mean, I would say.
So he might be the exception to this rule. Like, basically, the sense of entitlement that comes with growing up around that sort of a following, that sort of, you know, attention, is really unhealthy.
But that's what happened. But here's the thing, Austin. Yes, it is. It's unhealthy. But at the same time, that's what guys like Tiger Woods grew up with. That's what guys like Mike. I mean,
and you're not going to call Tiger well adjusted.
No, of course not. But they don't get A-Rod. I can go through lists. This is why.
Also not well adjusted.
And this is why I tell you that. And I tell people because I'm not trying to I'm not trying to big time anybody here, but with what my dad did when I was growing up, he owned companies around the PGA Tour. I was around a lot of professional athletes.
Yeah.
These guys grow up differently than you and I grow up. Like Tiger Woods grew up being Tiger Woods. So, you know, they're never told no. They're never said you can't do this, you can't afford this, you need to go earn this. They're never taught that. So when they get older, it's just an expectation. Like A-Rod's a great example. People would get mad at A-Rod for the way A-Rod, you know, conducted himself, shirt off, you know, the fact that he cheated. Of course, nobody condones cheating. But if you understand A-Rod's mentality, then you can almost understand why he did it. Right. And that's the same thing that's going to happen to these kids, is that they're not, this, it's a different world they're living in. It's not good. And if they're not grounded and taught what's right from wrong, but you grow up in these environments and it's, this is what happens. This is why you look at things like the Tiger Woods thing and the A-Rod thing as just top of my head things. And you shake your head like, what are they thinking?
Right.
But in their world, they've never been told no. So they just do what they think is the best for their moment. It doesn't matter. When I was in college, I used to work for Tommy Hilfiger on tour events once in a while. I got these little, they were great. I screwed them up because I would go out at night and, you know, come not work the next day. But one of the things I learned from what Brett Quigley, I never told me a story. When Tiger was a rookie, he was 20 years old, tried to go to a bar and he walked in the bar and they were in upstate New York at a tournament called the BC Open. He tried to get into a bar. And the bouncer said, I need your ID. And he's like, I don't need an ID. I'm the Tiger. And the bouncer said, I don't care if you're the Lion King. If without an ID, you're not coming in here. I mean, that's the mentality of these guys. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Right.
You know, that's the world they live in. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how these kids develop. I will say one thing, though. When you look at the kids, and I haven't seen a lot of LaMelo or LiAngelo, but Lonzo Ball seems to be like a class act kid.
I agree with that. And most, like, you hope that stays that way. How many times do you see someone like that eventually, you know, become erratic or do something that you're just...
Oh, I agree. You're like, why? What are you thinking? But again, I agree with you there. But that's it's a different mentality they're growing up with. They're raised differently. They're seeing things differently. They're not... The expectation of what they do on a day-to-day basis is different than what it was as we were young kids or teenagers growing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just a completely different mentality. When you grow up that way and you're treated that way... Your thought process changes.
And I guess my point is, any parent, I would hope, and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to parent, but like I would...
Don't send your kid to Lithuania at 16 years old to play basketball.
Personally, I would hope, knowing that that can be a problem, do whatever you can to avoid that. That, I think, is...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you want to teach kids humility. You want to teach kids that they're not, that there is no entitlement. You got to earn what you get and go, you know, work hard to get to where you want to get to.
Right.
And I think LeVar Ball is the perfect example of, and again, I don't know LeVar Ball. I don't know his whole background, but I don't know what he's done to get to be who he is today. Like, I mean, it's like you coming on saying, I'm going to start selling hats that have, you know, AD on them, you know, the AD brand, you know, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell people that I am the, I mean, this is how it started. It was like, I'm going to start talking up my kids and I'm going to be flamboyant. I'm going to say things that are going to be crazy. And entities like ESPN and Fox, I mean, everybody talks about LeVar. They talk about that every day. There's something
because
about these guys.
Because he's polarizing.
It's amazing. What a country.
Yeah, baby.
What a country. I lost my whole train of thought about the college football thing, Austin. I want 16 teams in it. I don't care when you start. I don't care how you got to do it. 16 teams. Let's go.
16's too many. 8's enough.
Now, come on. 16's too many?
Yeah, and it was all like they started at 4 because it was never going to stay at 4.
I agree with that. It's definitely going to get bigger. But, man, what a tournament it would be. And I'll take 8. I'll take whatever I can get. But, man. So, and I would love – UCF is a great example of a team that I would love to see up against. And you would see that in basketball. In NCAA basketball, you see it. In the NCAA football, you don't see it. And you just said it best. Yeah, I don't know if you said it on or off the air, but there's nothing that's more turned off to you as a fan, that's a casual fan, than watching two SEC teams play for the national championship.
I have zero desire to watch Monday night's game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And can you imagine saying that about the NCAA? But that doesn't happen when you talk about NCAA basketball.
Yep.
Because you have all these teams that have a chance. And if you're the best two at the end of it, good for you. All right. When we take a break, we're actually going to preview that game. We've got the great Zach Al-Khatib, college football editor for the Sporting News, joining us right here next on Sports Saturday. Don't go anywhere. I just got a text that my niece Bailey is listening to the show. Bailey Paul, big time basketball player now. She's just little though. She's a little thing.
Oh.
So I just want to say hi to my niece Bailey. Hi Bailey. Keep up the basketball. We like basketball in our family, you know what I mean? We were talking college football playoffs here. And you think there should be 8 teams.
I do.
I think there should be 16 or 32 teams. But put them all in. I'm all in. Not 32. That's pushing it.
If you 16. Go 16, you got to ditch the conference championship.
Whatever you got to do, that's fine. Give me 16 teams. That would be awesome. Imagine that. Whew, that'd be awesome. But anyway, who better to talk to about this and the national championship game than our good friend right now on the TikTok Drew's guest line, college football editor for The Sporting News, Zach Al-Khatib. Zach, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again, buddy. Did you have a nice new year?
Yes, sir. I sure did. And you?
It was great. It was great. Thanks for asking. So let's get into this game. First of all, one of the things Austin Danforth and I are here talking about earlier was the game between Oklahoma and Georgia. And one of the things that I thought was most important, that I thought was most impressed with, was how Kirby Smart really controlled that game. I really, especially when once he they made these adjustments, and I just thought that he was the superstar in that game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he kind of put his coaching prowess on display. You know, he didn't let his team, you know, get down. He said, if we do A, B, and C changes, you know, we can get back in this game. And it really helps when you've got guys like Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, you know, busting 75-yard runs. You know, that's a good way to stay in the game.
It's looking like, you know, Alabama, I think, 4-point favorite right now. But are they really the favorite in your eyes in this game?
You know, I think Georgia's going to have to play probably their best game of the year to beat Alabama, which, you know, certainly they can do. I mean, if you look at what they did against Oklahoma, you know that they can play with the big boys. The thing is, though, they're just built so similarly. And when Alabama gets in those kinds of games where they're playing a team in their own image, they typically win, and for good reason, because Alabama typically has more talent, more depth. Now, that might be put to the test a little bit, you know, especially considering all those injuries at linebacker, but I still think, you know, Alabama is going to be the favorite and is the deserving favorite.
Yeah, there's no question that Alabama should be the favorite here, but one of the things that's intriguing is Georgia's defense. I mean, once they went down 31-14, it was like a switch went off, and they became dominant against a really, really good offense. I mean, is Alabama going to be, if they play that way, I mean, will Alabama struggle to score?
That's a good question. You know, I think Alabama's a little bit more physical up front than Oklahoma is, but, you know, you're not going to see them bust big games like Rodney Anderson was getting, and Jalen Hurts definitely doesn't compare favorably to Baker Mayfield. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to try a lot of perimeter plays. They're going to have to try and keep Georgia's defense off balance using Jalen Hurts' athleticism. And Jalen Hurts is going to have to make some throws. You know, they're going to key in on him and his running ability, but what he needs to do for Alabama to be successful is for him to make some throws. And he missed a couple of easy ones against Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. So it's going to be really interesting to watch that battle.
Do you see like one or two things maybe that Georgia could do to give themselves the best shot in this game?
I think they need to keep a spy on Jalen Hurts and force him to beat them through the air. Because if you look at him this season, I mean, he's only thrown one interception, but he's still making a lot of mental errors. He's with his reads, he's missing receivers. So if they can get a lot of pressure on him, that can definitely work in their favor. Because I'm not certain that Bo Scarborough and Damian Harris are going to be able to get those big chunk plays like you've seen. On offense, I think if Jake Fromm can show the same amount of poise he did against Oklahoma, he can make those tight throws. And Alabama, you know, any Alabama fan will tell you this, you know, third down, you might as well just give them the first down, because they seem incapable a lot of times in cover two of getting those third down stops. So if they can hit enough of those plays, I think Georgia can really exploit that.
Zach, you know, we talk on this show a lot about, and I do, and Austin here can tell you his philosophy on it, but we talked about expanding this playoff. I mean, you know, four teams right now. Austin's got a great point. He thinks they started at four with the expectation of getting it a little bit bigger. I would love to see a bigger format. Now, I throw the number 16 out there, and people get mad at me and laugh at me throughout that, but no college football purist nationally seems to be for more teams. Why would that be a problem if we added more teams to the playoff?
Well, because I don't want to say invalidates, but it definitely reduces the value of the regular season, and that's the single most competitive regular season in all organized sport. I think what is going to happen eventually is it will expand to eight teams, because it just makes the most sense. You know, if you expand to six teams, you know, the top two get a bye. There's just too many different variables that can come into play. It's going to come down to eight teams probably after this initial run. And I think that's okay. You might see some scheduling changes with that, but I think in doing that, you maintain the integrity of the regular season. And you're never going to see more than 8 deserving teams who say, okay, we have a claim at, you know, we have a claim at the national title. You know, it's never going to be more than 8 teams, and I'd be surprised if it goes anything past that.
But I guess my question is, and you said that the integrity of the regular season, but let's look, I mean, I don't have any schedule in front of me, but there's, I mean, most of these great teams, for the exception of maybe, you know, some of the bigger conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, maybe, I'm just thinking top ahead, there's so many bad teams on their schedule. They play like 2 or 3 big games a year.
I used to buy the idea that the regular season mattered, but when you think that, well, the regular season, think of a team like UCF, didn't matter.
And their schedule was terrible, don't get me wrong. But wouldn't it be fun to watch them in this tournament? I mean, don't you want to see UCF play against Alabama?
You know, it would be interesting, definitely, to see how they handle that Alabama defense. And obviously, they can play. They could probably throw down with them. You know, you see what they did against Auburn. But the thing is, you know, you have 5 weeks to prepare. Any team can beat any other team when you give them actually a month to prepare. So that kind of is in the back of my mind when, you know, consider those sorts of things. But sure, you know, it would be interesting to see. And the Group of Five made a really strong, compelling argument that to say, hey, you know, we deserve this opportunity in the future. Now, I don't think UCF is quite right in saying that, hey, we're the national champs. I don't think anyone objectively would say that other than, you know, UCF. Yeah, but, you know, it's definitely interesting, and I think it'll. I think that is going to be a bigger debate down the line.
Yeah, and I agree, and there's no way UCF is the national champion. I mean, they're not. Their schedule is nowhere near that. But you can see where a team like that, they never had a chance. And I think that's unfortunate because that's what makes the NCAA basketball tournament so special. Is that teams like UCF have a chance. Now, they're not realistic, and it probably won't happen. But I feel like the college football purists out there, it's always about, oh, well, I mean, the integrity of the schedule and the integrity of the conference. I mean, if there are years where the – I mean, we had a couple years maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago where the SEC was dominant. But look at some of the teams in the SEC. There's not that much dominance anymore. You know, and you'd like to think that it would just be – I mean, I don't know. As a casual fan, I mean, if you're not vested in something, as a casual fan, that's what everyone's trying to get, right? Everybody wants the fans to watch. I mean, if you added more teams, whatever the number is, if you add more teams, how intriguing would this tournament be? It'd be the most intriguing tournament in all of sports.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'd be a huge money generator too, which is what it's all going to come down to, is how much money the TV can get off of this. But the thing is – you know, you're just going to have a lot of pushback from the Power Five commissioners. I should say the Power Five school commissioners. It's just going to be really hard for them to open the door a little bit and let those teams in. Now, I mean, that's not to say it's impossible. I think if Houston had a couple years ago had won out, you know, they had just beaten Florida State in the Peach Bowl, they had beaten Oklahoma. You know, if they had won out, I think you could have made a really compelling argument for them. So it's not like the door is closed shut tight. But the thing is, you're just going to have to make compelling arguments during the season. UCF, I think their biggest opponent was Memphis in South Florida. You're going to need to do a little bit better than that to honestly make that claim. And if you see more Group 5 teams doing this, if they can beat those Power 5 opponents, that's when you're going to see the door open a little bit. And I think, you know, eventually you might see a Group of 5 team make it if they are dominant enough in those Power 5 wins.
But what Power 5 school is going to put UCF on their schedule? None.
Not many now.
That's the point. I mean, that's the problem right there. Like, I mean, yeah, UCF probably wants it. I'm just using them as an example because this year's team that's undefeated didn't get the shot. But they're not going to get a chance because nobody in their right mind wants to play them. I mean, that'd be suicide for a Power 5 team that plays in a major conference to put a team like that on their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the difficulty that, you know, teams like UCF have to overcome. You know, if you look at Boise State, you know, back in the late 2010, late 2000s, they did everything right. They played consistently talented opponents. They beat consistently talented opponents, and they still couldn't get in. And I think UCF has a little bit more going for it in that, you know, Boise State has already set the stage for them. I think UCF has a little bit more national appeal than Boise State. Definitely a bigger, student and fan base. But it's those same challenges are still there, and they're going to have to overcome them, and they're going to have to do it the same way Boise State did.
Zach, you're the man, buddy. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you again down the road. Enjoy the game Monday.
No, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Zach Al-Ghatib, college football editor for Sporting News. I mean, interesting perspective.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, okay.
Increasingly, the idea that they need to make the regular season still matter, it doesn't. Like, when you have the Power Five on one track.
Right.
And everybody else on a different track, and they're parallel, and there's very few U-turn chances from one to the other for one of those non-Power 5 teams to get a crack at somebody else.
Yeah, I mean,
that you throw that in. You layer in the fact that there's already a bias towards the Power 5. There's already a bias towards the SEC and Alabama, as we saw with them getting in over Ohio State. You throw in the bias that's already there from the start with preseason rankings that are based on ideas and or what happened before, and those are hugely influential in how everything plays out during the season. The regular season is sort of a joke propped up on these ideas.
It is.
I don't buy it.
I totally agree with you. And yeah. But the only thing I would disagree with what your comment was that I think Alabama is the best team in the country. I think they should have been in the tournament. I mean, I can see where the argument is for Ohio State, but I think Alabama.
Their schedule wasn't great, and they didn't win their conference.
But when you look at who they beat and when they beat them. I just think it's tough to argue Alabama not being in it, especially with what they were able to do. And obviously didn't win their conference, tough loss against Auburn late in the year, but I think Alabama should be in it. But my point is that's why there needs to be more in it, because I think Ohio State should be in it. I think UCF should be in it. If Boise State back in the day was here, I think they should have a chance. And that's what makes college sports so great. It's the David versus Goliath mentality. And that's the problem we have with college football. Like, how can you? I'm not that excited about this game this weekend on Monday because
the rich get richer.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. I mean, what would we not give to see UCF match up with Clemson in the first round, or UCF match up with Alabama, or Notre Dame? I mean, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and we can go down the list. I mean, I don't have the list in front of me. We can go down teams. Auburn. I mean, give these teams a shot. Make it a tournament. Then we got something. Then Vermont bring football back, and we'll go. Probably not. What do you think, Austin? Well, that's a scoop. That would be a pretty good scoop right there.
If you win the Powerball and give half of it to UVM, they could do it.
Powerball. That's right. Don't forget to get your ticket tonight, Powerball. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're going to tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
Like us, follow us, stalk us. We love the attention. 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com.
Already.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
I'm just very, very sorry that it's come to this. I mean, it's just terrible.
Austin, Happy New Year, buddy. Thanks for helping us out this week.
Same to you, boys.
So Bernie's out again next week. You think you can maybe come in next week?
Oh, you put me on the spot here.
Yeah,
I think
of course.
I can.
All right, we'll try that. So I had to say, before we go, you have to tell me what you said off the air about
So you asked what I was doing the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I got to work tonight.
Yeah.
Probably going to pick up some eyeglasses, and
sure.
I might roast the chicken in between the two
because that's
like a great life hack. You cook the chicken for an hour and a half, makes your house smell incredible for like a week.
You like the way you want your house to smell like baked chicken?
Tell me if it doesn't smell good.
No, I mean, who doesn't love baked chicken?
And you got food to eat for days.
That's a good thing. So there you go. Life hack for you, 101. Go eat. Your house stinks.
I'm not saying my house stinks.
No, but I'm just saying if it does, roast a chicken.
Yeah.
Do you put anything like rosemary on this chicken? Do you put anything on the chicken?
Last week I did like a tandoori spice rub. But
hey, ladies, are you listening to that? You're single, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, girls, listen. This guy's putting a tandoori spice rub on his chicken. Let's go.
Tonight might be honey and orange juice. Like,
ooh, taste. Orange chicken.
Yeah.
Nice. It's going to smell. Oh, that might be a nice little scent around.
Yeah.
You know, like fried skin and orange.
Throw some cumin.
Throw some cumin in there. So maybe some garlic. Maybe mince something up. All right, look at you, Austin Danforth. I'm impressed. I'm going to start roasting more chickens. Monica, did you hear that? We can start roasting chickens. We can stop like lighting candles.
Easy.
Maybe we got a couple dogs at our house and it gets wet. You know, the dog's wet smell goes on. You can just roast a chicken.
Oh, yeah.
That's
definitely
a good idea.
I season my chicken with olive oil when I choke mine.
I don't even know where to go. Dave, thanks for making this
gonna
last
mess me, aren't you?
Hey, guys, this is Sports Saturday. We are here every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Remember, tonight you can listen to the Cats. They are home. Big game for the Cats and against UMBC.
Very big. Very interesting.
one of the best players in the country at UMBC.
Jarius Lyles. Retrievers come in with 10 wins.
Along with UVM. So think about that. UVM has 10 wins. They have 10 wins. The coverage starts here at 6:30. And you can listen to football all day long tomorrow starting at 12:30. Buffalo at Jacksonville at 4:15. Carolina, New Orleans. Happy New Year. Have a great weekend. Stay warm. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back here next week. We're living the dream. We're taking you with us. I'm Jeff. He's Austin. He's Dave. We'll see you next week.
Super Bowl 52. This is WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.